Netter, just talking to teachers.
Talking to teachers about academic research and evidence-based practice with continuing professional development at PNA1977 on Twitter.
Namers Netter, just talking to teachers.
Hello and welcome to another summer special of Naylor's Natter. And this week's edition is an absolute joy. So this week I'm in conversation with Emma Turner and we're talking about New Ed, her TES articles and being a CPD and research lead. We also talk a little bit about the online CPD that she's been involved in previously. We talk about Carpool for School and we even talk about 80s heroes, books, fizz. So get the dog lead. Get the running shoes or just sit back in your favourite armchair and enjoy this week's Natter with Emma Turner. Okay, hi Emma and welcome to the podcast.
Hi there.
Hi, and thanks for giving up your time in the holidays to speak to me, much appreciated.
Never a day off in education.
Brilliant. Okay, so we'll go into the usual sort of introductory question. So if you can just outline a little bit about your career to this point and what kind of things you're working on at the moment.
I've been a primary school teacher for, it'll be coming up for 22 years now, see you later, book. I worked predominantly in Leicestershire. I did a really weird training course, a four-year training course in education, which meant that I'm actually qualified to teach primary and secondary, upper primary and secondary. But all my career, I've worked in primary schools across Leicestershire predominantly. I've worked in multiple schools. I've been an assistant head, a deputy head. I was a national strategy advisor for the numeracy strategy many moons ago. And I was also a co-head teacher with my fabulous colleague, Claire Mitchell, one of the first all-female co-headships about 10 years ago now. So currently I'm working as research and CPD lead for the Discovery Schools Academy Trust and Affinity Teaching School Alliance, but I work extremely part-time, and by that I mean one day a week. Wow. And I write, research and develop a lot of their CPD from NQT right up through to sort of leadership level stuff. So busy girl.
Absolutely. And so much to ask about there, and we'll get to that definitely later on. So the first question really is touching on what you talked about there is your new role as research and CPD lead for a trust. So how do you go about sourcing the best CPD out there, and how do you structure your CPD offering as a trust?
It's quite varied. Obviously, we're influenced by sort of local national priorities, national statutory changes, things like that, and also the data that comes out of our own trust in terms of end of key stage data. But it's a bit of a strange role for me in that I kind of research everything that's out there and then distill and condense what I find into sort of key themes that I think the trust could work with. And that's just in terms of my part that I'm doing, but they have lots of other links with other education providers. They're part of Inspiring Leaders. So they work with a lot of schools over in Nottinghamshire to provide the Inspiring Leaders Leadership Conference in November and provide a lot of the MPQ courses. And we also run our own skip as well through Inspiring Leaders. So we've got people at every career stage and every phase of career development, really, right through from ITT, right through to some people doing the MPQ EL, the executive lead one. So I'm kind of out there like some kind of educational sniffer dog, really, trying to find what the key themes are that might be coming up and then writing those to match what the needs of the trust and the staff within the trust and the pupils within the trust is at that moment. We also try and make sure that our CPD offer is as broad as possible in terms of some of it is one-to-one training, some of it is collaborative, some of it is sort of head teacher driven, some of it is leadership based and leadership focused. But my job's kind of to get the gist of what's out there and then put that into key themes for the trust, which is really interesting because it means I have to read pretty much everything and talk to everybody. And that's why I'm constantly on Twitter finding out what the sort of educational temperature is, really. So that's what I do on a day-to-day basis.
I love that phrase now, educational, or it's a sniffer dog. That's fantastic. I love the idea of that, finding out what's out there and see what's coming next. That's brilliant. Now, speaking of what's coming next.
I accurately predicted a load of stuff last year as well.
So oh, did you?
Really, well, I was like, this is going to be huge, and it was. And I was really pleased about that, and because my role is, I'll only be going into my third year with this, so it's a really new role for the trust and for me. So the role itself is evolving as I'm in it anyway, but that was kind of my brief, to really improve teaching and learning across the trust, outcomes for pupils, quality CPD for staff, and it was an open brief really. So it's been really great to go out there and actually get stuck into everything that's out there. It's been a real privilege.
I bet. I'm going to look forward to asking you some more about that. So I'm just making a note now about ask Emma later in the podcast about this year's, what's going to be coming up this year's trends. So just have one eye on that as we come towards the end of the podcast. I'm definitely going to be asking you. You can be like a mystic Meg of education, can't you, as well as being on the Sniffer Dog. This will be brilliant.
I've got my crystal ball ready.
Well, please do. Yeah, that'd be great. So in terms of the CPD that you're providing for newer teachers, really excited about what you're doing with NewEd. So you could just tell listeners who will be aware of that how the idea came about.
I could tell you something that it was, you know, cogitated, digested, you know, kind of really thought through in depth, but actually it just came to me while I was driving along one day. It's not actually to do with my work. It's not part of my role per se. It's like, that's why I keep calling it my work baby, because work of my employees amazing in facilitating the opportunity to do it, but it wasn't something that I was kind of tasked with. And it came off the back of attending Brewed Hearts, which was organised by Emma Kell, Adrian Bassoon, and a lot of other colleagues down south. And we were invited, Claire and I were invited to come and talk about our experience of co-headship. And anybody who was in that room that day kind of joked that there was magic in the room, because everybody who was in the room had gone on to do something else as a result. Something great or something different, or taking the next step as a result of being in that room. And as I looked around, I thought, this is great CPD for me. This is absolutely perfect, meeting all these people, hearing all these stories, finding out more about, you know, all sorts of things. And then I drove home. While I was driving home, I thought, the difference is there were hardly any NQTs in that room, and I deal with NQTs and newly qualified early career teachers so much. And then I thought, there's all the Brewheads out there that are amazing and obviously open to early career teachers, but there's nothing necessarily aimed specifically at early career teachers. And so I came up with the idea of a Brewhead type event on a Saturday for early career teachers, aimed specifically at them, where there's no school leaders there necessarily, there's no mentors, there's nobody who's been in the trade forever. So it's, and I don't want to sound really wishy-washy here, but I think it's a safe space. But actually it was a space that was just for early career teachers who might not ask the question or have access to the kind of information in their day-to-day setup at school, or, you know, might feel awkward to ask something. And I also wanted it to be a space for NQTs, RQTs and initial teacher training students to network, because the networking that went on in the room at Brewed Hearts was amazing. But they were all mostly experienced teachers or school leaders. And then I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if our ITT students, our NQTs and our early career teachers networked at an event sort of together, because they're going to be the peers and the new school leaders at broadly the same rate as they go through the education system potentially. So there's the opportunity there for them to build really meaningful networks with peers at similar career stages, but in separate settings. Because ironically, I was dealing with all the skit students as they came through and finished becoming NQTs, and then they would go on to the RQT program, and then they'd come on to some of my collaboratives, but they never got together as like a consecutive group. And I'm thinking, do you know what? It'd be really good if you spoke to them and they spoke to you. So NewEd was born, and I contacted Ed Finch, and I said to him, I don't want to nick your idea or anything, but would you mind very much if I burst Brewed's baby and called it NewEd? And he was so supportive and said, no, it fits in with the Brewed ethos perfectly. I would totally support it. And he's been amazing in helping me navigate some of the organisational aspects of it. So thank you, Ed. And then I contacted Sam Twistleton, who'd been at Brewed Hearts as well, who's obviously heading up the work with the DfE with the career entry. So I contacted her and said, look, I'm hoping NewEd doesn't fly in the face of any wellbeing guidance or anything that's coming out with the early career framework. I don't want to get it off the ground and be doing the wrong thing. And she said, no, this is exactly what early career teachers need access to. This is great. Would you like me to come and speak at it? So she's one of the speakers at NewEd. And then she said, I also think you ought to contact the Charter College about it because they're running some early career events. So contacted the college and they very kindly offered to support the event, run all the management side of it for me, and send a representative. And I thought they would send a representative, and they're sending Alison Peacock to come and talk at it. So that was a real coup for the students and the student teachers and the early career colleagues who'll be there, because they get to listen to Sam with the DfE slant, and they also get to listen to Alison with the Chartered College support. And then the Chartered College said, you know, we're running a lot of early career events. Would you like to be part of it? And I said, well, I'd really like to steer it if possible, because I don't want to kind of hand over NewEd and not lose control of it, but I'd really like to remain involved in it. So started working with the Chartered College on it. And then I got a phone call from the DfE as well, saying that they would like to support it because it fits exactly with the work they're trying to do in promoting teaching and looking at all the positive sides of teaching. So far, my partners are the Chartered College and the DfE, which, as partners go, I'm fairly pleased about that. That's like securing Man United and Man City, to be perfectly honest.
Well,
not
yeah.
That I'm a Man United or Man City fan.
No. I was just going to say we better steer clear of any kind of football discussion on this podcast.
probably safer. I can hear people's buttons clicking off.
Yeah, well, you see, I support one of those teams that nobody cares about, apart from my colleague Simon Cox. So I'm a Wigan supporter. It doesn't upset anybody being a Wigan supporter, apart from those who support Manchester City, as we are prone to beat them every time we play them, and nobody else can. So it's pretty good, really. But that's why we steer clear of football. So back to the excitement of NewEd is probably safer ground for us. So not surprisingly, Emma, this is sold out, isn't it, for November? But are you going to be looking at doing some more events or going a bit further afield with this? Or is it going to become like become a kind of movement, shall we say?
Well, it is, in short. Now, initially, our inaugural conference, that's positive thinking for you, isn't it? If it's an inaugural one, there has to be another one, is the one on the 2nd of November. And it's sold out, but the more people who sign up on the waiting list, the more likely it is that we're going to move to a bigger venue. We do have the possibility of moving to a bigger venue, but we've got to find out that the interest is actually out there. So as soon as people register on the Eventbrite link, and if you just type in Eventbrite, NewEd, Joyful CPD, it'll come up straight away, and you can register on the wait list. And the more people that we get, the more chance we can to open it out to a much wider audience. It sold out in about 3 weeks, which I was completely stunned about, but we have got some amazing speakers there. We've got Alison and Sam, as I've just mentioned. Ros Wilson's coming along, and if you ever want to get anyone to talk about writing, Ros Wilson's the lady. Then Ray Snape's coming, who, if anyone was going to talk about bigging up teaching and the joy of teaching, it is her. And then Sarah Mullin, who's writing the book What They Didn't Teach Me on My PGCE, or What I Wish I'd Learned on My PGCE, she's coming along, so she's very current. And Laura Knight's coming to talk about digital, managing your digital life, both in and out of school. Emma Kell's coming along with Adrian Bassoon, and they're both talking about teacher well-being and retention, how to manage your work-life balance. And Pram Patel's coming along to do work on equity, equality and diversity. And then we've got the Carpool for School chaps coming along, who are going to be my roving reporters on the day.
Listen, they are literally my favourite people ever. I mean, you know, I think they started, a little bit at the same time as maybe this podcast started. And it's a joy, isn't it? It's an absolute joy. Yeah. Everything that they put out, I can't wait to put it on and we put it in the car. And I just love the fact that they've branched out into merchandise as well. And I'm my fingers hovering over the Vistaprint button for Nailers Natter badges. But I think, no, I can't. But they've done
it
superbly.
So the Carpool for School guys, they're so genuine as well. Full-time class teachers as well.
Which is really, really important, I think. You know, I mean, I mentioned this last week. This is really important that these kind of things are based with actual teachers who are doing this. Obviously, there's a place for external expertise, and, you know, I fall into that camp sometimes, as do you. But, you know, the people who are based in the classroom and are loving their teaching is so great for the profession.
They're absolutely amazing. They're so generous with their time as well. And when we did the interview, when Claire and I did the interview with them, I came home and I genuinely, my face was hurting because I'd laughed so much all afternoon. They are just genuinely hilarious in real life as well. And they're coming along on the day to New Ed to help me co-host it and to do some roving reporting during the day and to do all the videoing of it. So I'm really looking forward to having them in.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. So another exclusive on Nailers Natter. We get to find out that carpool for school could become part of the early careers framework. I mean, I, for one, because I'm involved in a lot of the sort of the early stuff with the early careers framework and the rollout of the early part of that. And carpool for school on the curriculum has got to be a thing. If it's not already, we need to push for that. That'd be brilliant.
I think it's on there. I think it's to do with, do you remember, I don't know if you've seen the Race Mate blog about when she did the CamZ Fest, when she organised that earlier in the summer term. She did a blog about the joyful aspects of teaching, and I think carpool and New Ed are falling under that same heading, same category, in terms of the DfE involvement. So, yeah, exciting times.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right, swinging now to the other end of the demographic. So obviously you mentioned some stuff that you're doing around leadership, and you do a lot of writing for TESS, and you know, I'm a regular reader of the stuff that you put out there, and it's fantastic. So one that I particularly liked was one that you've written about a 70-year-old teacher being your hero.
Oh, Ross, yeah. the writing for TESS was another weird thing, encouraged by Ray and Emma at Brewed Hearts. All roads lead back to Brewed Hearts. And it's really weird for me to be a writer because I'm a science grad. So the whole TES thing's been a bit of a weird one to me. Mm. But I wrote about... What are you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that's probably why I like it, in the sense that, you know, I write from that perspective as well. And I think back to some of the early stuff that I wrote of blogs, and I've written the odd piece for TES over the years. But it's so much harder as a scientist sometimes to actually write these things down. But I like the way that you've done that. It speaks to me anyway. So what I was going to follow up with was about this 70-year-old teacher being your hero. So, you know, what do you think are the factors meaning that more experienced teachers like these teachers are leaving the profession, and what can we and should we do about it?
Well, Roz is amazing. Roz Gould, who I wrote about in the article, she was at the last school that I worked at. I joined as a senior teacher, then became assistant and then deputy and then co-head there all the way through while she was there. And she'd worked at the school for sort of 30, 40 odd years. She's absolutely amazing. And she has got more stamina than an 18-year-old, I think. But she is the exception rather than the norm, in that as the teachers move through the profession, it seems to be that there's this mass exodus from the classroom. I think part of it is us as a profession not seeing leadership as the gold standard of education, that actually what we need to value an awful lot more is fabulous expertise in the classroom. It's all very well and good being an amazing leader, and education needs amazing leaders. Schools need amazing leaders, both middle leaders, senior leadership. But actually what schools also need and what the children need are fabulous teachers in the classroom. So I think part of it is a kind of a mind shift of actually what we value as a profession. Is it becoming a leader, or is it becoming a truly excellent teacher? Because too many people, when they talk about career progression, it seems to be this linear route, and with the only route being out of the door of the classroom and into an office, rather than actually becoming a leader within the classroom. And lots of trusts have found very innovative ways of keeping experienced staff in the class, but all too often some trusts, some schools, some individuals just see the only way up as being out that door, and it's such a shame for the children. And you mentioned Mark McCourt earlier. He talks very much about the difference between the thinking processes of a novice and an expert teacher, which is absolutely fascinating. And to lose the expertise of experienced teachers is really sad. And the other thing that I think about when I think about Ross and retaining teachers in the classroom is the fact that we don't offer enough flexibility a lot of the time for teachers at different parts in their life. We talk about flexible working a lot in terms of maternity or paternity leave or shared parental leave, but we don't recognise that people at different points in their life might need to flex the role a little bit more. And having worked in headship, worked with staff of all ages, what you notice is that lots of people at different stages in their life require the flexibility that occasionally isn't afforded to them. So people who maybe have an elderly parent to care for, or a spouse who's poorly, or have caring commitments with their own grandchildren, they want the flexibility that and they want the ability to flex their role, but don't necessarily get that opportunity to remain in the classroom and be offered that flexibility. It is improving, it is out there, but I don't think people see older teachers or more experienced teachers, if we're talking about roles, as having that opportunity to be flexible. And one of the things that Ross did was that she retired, then came back, and then retired again and came back, and she was taking on different roles. But I was thinking that, and my colleague Claire is now working with senior teachers in the school to provide that flexibility, because it might not just be flexibility through caring commitments, but it might be flexibility for additional study or a sabbatical or a move to another school within a trust. It's just there needs to be that recognition that, yes, we need to keep people in the classroom, but also we need to afford everybody the flexibility to respond to their own professional development wants and needs and ambitions, but also the changes in their life at different life stages as well. And it may well be that offering people flexibility for a short period of time actually retains them in the classroom for longer. Emma Kell, when she was studying for a doctorate, and when she got a younger family, said that she worked, I can't remember what it was, she had sort of had 9 days, she worked 9 days out of 10. So she had 1 day off a fortnight to do something else, and that's what kept her in the classroom for so long. I think that as a profession, we just need to rethink how our employment, because it just needs to be a natural maturation of the system. We need to respond and reflect the kind of flexibility that's out there in the wider workplace. Schools are fairly slow to catch up with that one.
No, it's fascinating stuff, and this is something that I've written on recently, and there's going to be an article, a bit of shameless self-promotion coming up, so, you know, fast forward listeners at this point. But I've been asked to write a piece for the RSC's Education in Chemistry magazine, and the reason I'm flagging that up is because it was around this topic about, you know, early careers teachers, but also, you know, is promotion worth it, and should promotion always mean that you move out of the classroom? And I was interested about the sort of the DfE's new a golden thread that's going from sort of early career to senior leadership, and it's going to build a little bit more in terms of what you talked about, the flexibility, but also this idea, which they have floated before, you remember, like the ASTs, that teachers who want to stay in the classroom can be, one, you know, recognised for it, two, remunerated for it as well, and it's seen as something that you don't need to be promoted into an office and out of the classroom. You can still be in front of children.
And I think the Chartered College's new Chartered Teacher status goes alongside that, recognising the expertise that's actually in the classroom. And another thing about retention and keeping people in the classroom, Emma Kell again writes about that people forget about the noise of the five-lesson day, she calls it, and how people are too quick to forget that how draining and how noisy teaching for an entire day is, and that we need to ensure that people have got adequate downtime, and that when we're putting new initiatives into school and we're asking people to do more and what have you, that we don't forget, as she says, that noise of the five-lesson day, because it's so easy to forget when you're doing five lessons a day, 5 days a week, just how much effort that requires and how much attention and how draining that can be. So offering alternatives and just maintaining the recognition of that. Ooh. Helps when you drop the phone when you're trying to talk. So slick, you know, so slick. Yeah. not forgetting that.
No, definitely, definitely. And it's an interesting topic and one we could return to. But if I could just move on slightly onto a similar kind of theme. So another of your articles that I liked was, if I've got this right, it was based on a Clash song. So it was, should I stay or should I go? But also you were talking about saucepans.
Oh, yes, every pot there's a lid.
Which I absolutely loved that one, because I was thinking about, you know, this is a time of year maybe that people are taking stock, thinking about their career, thinking about the school that they're in, where they're going to go next. So could you just tell us a little bit more about how did you come up with the saucepan analogy? What is the saucepan analogy? And then I suppose, you know, for listeners, how do you go about finding your lid?
Right. The analogy is, for every pot there's a lid. I didn't make it up. It's just like a local thing.
Right.
And it's more commonly used. It's like finding your life partner. For every pot there's a lid.
Okay.
It's normally what you say when you've been dumped. Don't worry about it. For every pot there's a lid.
That's a whole different podcast, Emma, that we probably don't want to go into that one now. We'll leave that one.
We'll lower the tone. Right, so yeah, it's just about finding the right match. And it's, everybody knows if they're working in the wrong place. You just know if it's not the right culture for you, if it's not the right, you know, way of working for you. But it's so important to find the place that you genuinely fit in. And it's, if you're looking to find the right saucepan, it's about be the right lid. It's about finding out as much about the school as you possibly can, and much about, not just about that individual school, but the networks that they're linked to, their ethos, their who they partner with, what life is like in that school. So it's talk to existing staff, look at the website. If you know parents in the catchment, talk to them about that. And having worked in lots of schools myself, but schools, although we're kind of joined up in terms of, you know, we all understand what basic great pedagogy is, and I'm not even going to go down the road of what subject knowledge you should be teaching, but we all recognise that subject knowledge is important. But every person will have their own specific skills and specific interests, and every school will have its own specific needs and requirements, and it's just about marrying those two. And it's finding the school that's got that set up that you're most interested in. So is it that you want to work in a school that is local authority maintained, whether it's an independent school, a trust school, alternative provision? Is it special school? What phase do you want to work in? All of those are kind of the big questions to start with. But then it's kind of thinking a little bit more about, okay, what kind of work is the school currently doing? Who are they affiliated with? What networks do they have? What's their CPD offer? Like, how flexible are they in terms of their working? You know, do people get a chance to do additional study? Are they very research driven or outward facing? So it's about finding out where you fit, and also setting too much store by things like Ofsted reports, because obviously, you know, we all know that they can be from years back, and schools can change so quickly. And the needs of a school can change so quickly as well. And you may have a school that historically had a reputation for having amazing maths results, but then a few key people leave in the school, and actually that's an area that you know that might be the place that you need to look. So it's about what they can offer you as well as what you can offer them in terms of your skills and development. And it's about finding out whether the staff are happy there as well, because happy staff, happy schools. And if you've not read The Magic Weaving Business by Sir John Jones, I would definitely, definitely recommend it. If I could ever recommend one book that any educator ever reads, it's that book. And it's the bit in there about moral purpose and righteous indignation. And it is finding the school that fits with your kind of moral purpose, your righteous indignation, the thing that drives you. As soon as you found that school, as soon as you found that fit, happy days.
And here we go with celebrity anecdotes number two for this podcast, but I might have this wrong, so if by any chance he's listening to this, which I don't think he will be, but if I've got the right person, then I'll cut it if I haven't. But I used to be a football coach back in the day. This is about 20 years ago, before I became into education, so I've had a career beforehand. And on the cusp of the sort of Labour government, and they decided to put £5,000 to train to teach, I decided that I'd take the leap from being football coach into being, you know, a classroom teacher. I had a science degree. Anyway, long setup for not a very exciting story. So I'm coaching a group of kids on a Saturday morning, every Saturday morning without fail and chatting to the parents next to the goal at the end of the session, you know, telling them how they're getting on and how the kids are doing and what kind of things they're into. And there's one particular gentleman I used to talk to every week who was just fabulous, and he was chatting away to him, oh, and your lad's doing this and he's doing that, he's brilliant, oh, and have you thought about this, and he'd offer me all this, and I just thought nothing of it. And I went back to train over the next year or so, kept the football up part-time, went to the Miss First School, and it was the inset day. It was a big speaker coming on the inset day, and he said, oh, we've got a big speaker coming in to speak to us. It's Sir John Jones. And I'm just stood at the front, I'm thinking, that's the guy from the side of the football pitch whose kid I've been coaching for the best part of the year, and he's a sir, and he's doing all of this stuff. I just couldn't believe it. Now, if I've got this wrong, I'm sure I'll be corrected, but I don't think you get things like that wrong. And he was just the nicest, most genuine guy I have ever had the pleasure to speak to. And he wouldn't remember this, but, I mean, for a new teacher, it was massive. I just thought, wow, because he could have come across as being, you know, I've done all this stuff and you're just a lowly football coach. But he really took an interest in trying to develop me as a coach and talk about what kind of things he could do. And I couldn't believe it on the first school that I went to. So there you go. There's an anecdote you weren't expecting in the middle of a podcast.
It doesn't surprise me at all, because his book was one of the first ones that I read when I got into this new role. Mm. And I remember reading it and thinking, oh, it's the best thing I've ever read. And I remember going to my CEO to tell him about this book. And I was so nervous and felt like such a fraud. So I thought my CEO was going to turn around and go, how have you been teaching for 20 years and not known about this book? Mm. But he didn't. He went, oh, well, I'll give it a read. And then he rang me that night. He said, I started reading it. I can't put it down. And he said, and I'm not a big reader. He said, I should have put it. He said, we need to have this. So now it's a core text for all of our skit students and everybody in the trust and all of our works based around the magic weaving business. It's just the most amazing book. And then I booked him. Not I booked him, but the trust booked him for one of our Inspiring Leaders conferences. On my recommendation, I've never been more nervous because I'd never met him. Mm. And I was thinking, I've picked him up, I've made everybody buy the book, I've got 300, 400 people in this room all ready to listen to him. I knew it was going to be brilliant, but you always have that bit of doubt. And I had to introduce him and say why I'd chosen him to come and speak at this thing. So obviously went for the very highbrow, educational, you know, deep and meaningful introduction of basically quoting the Queen lyrics. One dream, one soul, one life, one goal. It's the kind of magic. I've never shaken more than when I had to introduce him. I've spoken to big groups a lot in my career, and I sat down and I literally couldn't pick up the glass. The guy next to me, one of my colleagues, was laughing at me. Did you see like this? I was just my educational Beyonce. I'm about to introduce him. It's amazing. Yeah, if anybody's listening wants to read an amazing book, read his book. It's just life game changer. It really is. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant.
And I should know this, and that, again, you know, I don't know, is he still around, do we know? I don't know, I've not heard about him for a long time.
Alive?
Well, I mean on the circuit around. I was hoping he was still alive, but on the circuit still around, I was meaning.
Yeah, he's very much alive and very much on the circuit. He did our conference last year in November, and he's all over the world doing all sorts of stuff. So if you ever see his name down at anything, just get yourself along, because it's just amazing, absolutely brilliant. He does a lot of stuff abroad now, a lot of charity work type stuff. But if you can ever see him speak in an educational conference, he's got his speak. But yeah, if you ever get a chance to go and speak, I mean, yeah, look at you, missed all those untapped moments.
I know, it's just, and I mean, the worrying thing will be that if I remember this story right, and this will be 1999, so, you know, his son will probably be mid-30s by now, I would think. It's quite scary to think about that, but honestly, it's such a great guy, and I might see if I can find him on here, and let's see whether we can, future guest, I feel. I think,
if you can get him on, that'd be amazing. He's just the nicest man as well. And I had my photo taken with him, and I look like a little kid who's just met, you know, Father Christmas. I am beaming on it. One of my colleagues went, oh, look at you, little face. I know.
This podcast is a joy. This is absolutely brilliant. We're finding out all sorts here. This is great. Right, moving it on a little bit into, so we've touched on the fact that you are this educational sniffer dog, which I feel like is definitely going to become part of your profile on Twitter after this conversation.
Please don't. I've already got one of my colleagues saying that I'm a member of BooksFizz. That, I can't even shake that one either.
Well, there's nobody left in BooksFizz, is there? I don't know if anybody's left. Who's left in BooksFizz anymore? I don't know.
Oh, well, apparently me, according to Helio, one of my colleagues.
Well, you'll have this, no doubt, when... go on, sorry.
I was delivering on a course, and I said something, and I said, of course, it's all like making your mind up. And I went, oh, like BooksFizz. And he said, yes, but without the skirt written. And then it all descended into chaos, and the whole BooksFizz thing has stopped. So whenever Helio tags me in anything, he always puts a blooming BooksFizz gif on there.
Oh, this is what I love about when I'm involved, because like you, I do like the NQTs, ITTs and all the new teachers, and you can make a reference to something like BooksFizz and you just get people, they just look at you like, what? You know?
It's or, like, you do the opposite like I did when I tried to make myself down with the kids and I tried to put in another violent reference and they saw straight through it. I was like, I'm going to be honest with you, I watched about 20 seconds of it and thought, it's like bedtime in my house with the kids. Everybody's walking around in the room. Everyone's in the wrong bed. People are shouting. People are crying. I just don't get it.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
I don't try and make out like I'm kind of on a cultural zeitgeist par with my 20-something NQTs. To be fair, we do have a lot of career changes and I do have my in-jokes with those, but no, I am way past down with the kids at 44.
Yeah, we're exactly the same. Simon Cox and I have to work together as we're the only people who understand each other's references. Everybody else just looks at us because we have quite a young staff at our school, and we're, shall we say, in the upper demographic. Although, you know, he won't be listening, but if he is, he doesn't look it, whereas, you know, possibly I do. But we have to have each other for the actual cultural references that exist in the 80s and 90s because nobody else understands.
And then one of the teachers came up to us and went, you do realise the kids have got absolutely no idea what you're laughing at, don't you?
I don't mind that so much. It's when the teachers don't know what we're talking about. I'm all right with the kids not understanding, but I think when the teachers just look at your blankets, like, right, it really is time to...
Yeah, so I've decided to take more of a mother hen role now rather than trying to be on the part with my lovely NQT. So they're absolutely fabulous, and I love them to bits. They're absolutely brilliant, but I've now had to swallow that bitter pill of I am a different generation.
Yeah, I'm feeling your pain. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Right, Emma, let's move on to online CPD. So we've already talked about Carpool for School, but there's some brilliant people out there. So for listeners that are just getting into Twitter, and I do get quite a lot of messages from people that say, this is maybe the first podcast they've listened to, they're new to Twitter, that kind of thing. So where would you direct people? I know it's a broad question, that, but if we start with maybe new teachers. If we started with new teachers just coming into the profession, where would you look for, you know, CPD online?
Right. As well as Twitter or just on Twitter?
Wherever you like, as open as that.
Well, if they're new to the profession, join the Charter College. Join the Charter College and have a look at all of their online courses or their online CPD, and especially their early career teacher area on there. It's absolutely fantastic. And if you follow Kat Scott on Twitter as well, she often posts links to the online learning materials, which are absolutely unbelievable quality. And I know people have, there's been a bit of a split of opinion about the work of the Charter College. I can't advocate it enough or speak highly enough of it. The quality of the resources on there are absolutely first class. So newly qualified teachers, early career teachers, get yourselves on the Charter College website and follow Kat Scott, Joe Treacy and Alison Peacock on there. I'd also recommend following amazing classrooms. Ash Dean and Claire Mulhern, who post amazing stuff all the time. And then, depending on your area of interest or expertise, I would definitely follow WomenEd, the GEC, Shared Headship Network, Flex Teacher Talent, Niall Alcott, Emma Kell, Ed Finch, obviously. And then if you want to build your Twitter profile, follow Deputy Grocott with his follow back. That's the easiest way to build your Twitter profile. And then other people that I'll follow, Action Jackson if that man does not make you smile, nothing can. He is just a ray of sunshine on Twitter, as is Ray Snape. And then for kind of curriculum-based stuff, Claire Seeley, Mark McCourt, Mary Myatt, Primary Percival, Richard Gerver, all of those people on Twitter are absolutely amazing. And as much as I wrote about Twitter being an amazing kind of CPD access tool, is to, for newly qualified teachers as well, is to not underestimate the quality of CPD that there is in the classroom next door to you. Because all of the external CPD that you access and external ideas are not built necessarily or devised with your classroom and your context and your school demographic in mind. So use your NQT time really, really wisely, not only to access online CPD, but to get into other people's classrooms. There is some great work going on in terms of lesson study and action research. People like Alan E. Thorne, Steph Edwards, they've written a lot for Impact and for the TES. They're another locally based teacher school, but they do loads on lesson study. But just getting into the other classrooms in your school can be the greatest CPD ever. I was so lucky early on in my career to, just by chance, work with some of the greatest teachers locally. I was in open plan as well, so I spent most of my NQT in NQT just with my mouth open going, oh my god, they're amazing, I want to be like that. And then it was because it was open plan, you got to see what was going on. Get yourself, yes, online, but also into your classroom and into other classrooms in similar settings, parallel classes, everywhere. It's not just, I mean, online's important, but don't underestimate the richness of what you've actually got in your own school as well, and that's so much more accessible sometimes.
No, definitely, that's great advice there, thank you. So in terms of wrapping this up a little bit, Emma, because you know that obviously we try to keep this down to commute timings really for people so they can listen, although I have developed quite a following of people that are listening on dog walks now, so this might be a thing. I do like a podcast on a dog walk, I have to say. My mum's 15 year old dog is not quite so keen on Craig Barton's 2-hour marathons. It's not really good for him, but it's good for me, so we try to keep it a little bit shorter. So if I could just ask you to finish off with, obviously you've mentioned that New Ed's coming up, but is there anything else that you're speaking at or anything else that you're putting out there in the next few weeks that you'd like people to be aware of in any way that people can get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me on Twitter, Emma_Turner75. Yes, I wish I hadn't put 75 because it gives away my age.
Well, I'm with you. I mean, I'm 77, so yeah, I'm exactly the same.
See, that's my little brother. He's 77, so you're still I'm speaking at the Women Ed Unconference. I've got a couple of sessions going on there. I'm at Brew Ed Hearts in September. I'm speaking in October down in Dorset on behalf of the Charter College. And then I've got all my TES articles that come out, New Ed. I'm speaking at our Trust, Discovery Schools Academy Trust Curriculum Conference in a couple of weeks, actually, about 3 weeks, with Mary Myatt. What else am I doing? I've got all sorts of stuff going. Not bad for one day a week,
is it? I was going to say, as if that wasn't enough, there's more. I mean, that's fantastic. Just picking up on a couple of those things, I was going to say there that the stuff that you put in for the TES has been fantastic, and it's a really, really good read. I mean, I had a bit of a sabbatical away from kind of reading that, and the days when it was in the staff room all the time, people used to read it and look for jobs. Obviously, not me, clearly, but that sort of thing. But it's
very happy in your role.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But in my many roles, I've got so many roles. So happy in all of them. And so happy that nobody that employs me listens, so it's really good. And what I was going to say then, yeah, so it's a really, really good read now, isn't it, in terms of the way that they've changed things. It's really accessible and it's really grounded in people in the classroom that are speaking about it, so it's really good. And on the Chartered College front, I've got tentative approval from Alison Peacock, who said that she's going to get back to me and she'll be in touch to whether she's going to come on the podcast. So that's great news as well. So two things there that we might
be
involved
in. What you need to do is get yourself along to New Ed, Phil, and start tapping up the speakers on the day.
Well, and I also need to come to Brew Ed, where it seems to be that everything happens from there, doesn't it? So if they've got another one of those coming up, I definitely need to come along to that.
Brew Ed Hearts in September, on September 14th,
right,
which is they've got a great lineup there, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and the reciprocal offer. I mean, you know, you need to come up to Research Ed Blackpool, don't you, and have a day by the seaside.
I used to go to Blackpool when I went to university in Liverpool. I used to catch a train.
Yeah, well, you see, you can still do that. You can still come along. I mean, it'd be great. Everybody, we've been very lucky. I mean, originally, like I said at the beginning, we started this as a podcast to kind of look at what we were doing at Research at Blackpool. But I think we've sold nearly 500 tickets for next year again. It's amazing the demand for it. So, you know, it's really, really good. Really good. Right, just breaking up a little bit at the end there, but yeah, there we go. Right, so it just remains to say thank you, Emma, for giving up your time. Really enjoyed speaking to you today.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's a lovely way to spend an afternoon. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
It really is, and I hope to meet you in person very shortly.
Yes, it's a date.
Indeed. Indeed. Thank you.
Cheers, all. Bye.
So enjoyed speaking to Emma there. A fantastic interview, and I look forward to hopefully meeting Emma in person very soon. So into the shameless plugs section, and there are quite a few this week, so bear with me. If we move into, first of all, the next week's podcast, and we have a podcast next week with the brilliant Kat Howard, and we're going to be talking about, amongst other things, we're going to talk about Lit Drive UK, we're going to talk about Maternity CPD, we're going to talk about Women Ed, and we're going to talk about Kat's new book, Stop Talking About Wellbeing, which will be coming out fairly soon. So that's a great podcast and one to look forward to. I'm also finally going to be putting out the podcast I did with Professor Michael Young on powerful knowledge, and that will be coming out on Friday, August the 30th. So look out for that one. In an unusual turn of events for the shameless plug section, I'm going to plug a piece that I have written. So if listeners are interested in some of the things that I do in terms of writing, I have a piece coming out on promotion, Is It Worth It? And that's for the Royal Society of Chemistry's magazine. So if you check that out on my Facebook and Twitter, that will be coming out fairly soon, to have a look at that. In the last little section on the shameless plugs, we're going to go back into term time fairly shortly. So if you've got anybody who is interested in coming on the podcast, then please get in touch with me either via here or my email, which is p3nay91@gmail.com. In the final little section here, the usual plugs for if you are interested in becoming a patron of the website, then head over to my website, which is www.nailersnatter.co.uk, or the Patreon website if you're interested in contributing the cost of a flat white to the upkeep of the podcast and the upkeep of its host. That would be greatly appreciated. So it remains to say thank you very much again for listening, and see you next time on Nailers Natter.
Nailers Natter, just talking to teachers.
Talking to teachers about academic research and evidence-based practice with continuing professional development at PNA1977 on Twitter.
Nailers Natter, just talking to teachers.